Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, along with the inventor of the Lambo Leap, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, former Green Bay Packer, Leroy Butler, with you. Broadcasting live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, Gary Ellerson with the day off, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from the Sports Network in up in Toronto. He is Josh Lewinberg. Josh, thanks so much for coming on to talk about the Raptors.
No problem, guys. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I guess we were talking here in the first hour of the show as far as some of these NBA player comments, as far as the food, Rajon Rondo calling it a Hotel 6 or Motel 6, LeBron and Damian Lillard calling it, comparing it to a bid to go to jail. What are your thoughts on some of how these players are reacting to their digs down in Disney World?
Well, I mean, the optics aren't great. I don't think it's coming off very well. I don't think it's being received very well, of course, because most people that are reading those comments have been in isolation at home and would love to go and be on vacation and stay in a hotel. And I understand, obviously, the NBA, it's not going to be easy for these players. This isn't quite a vacation, being in the bubble for as many as 3 months and being away from their family. But in terms of the quality of food and quality of hotel, I don't think very many people are going to identify with an NBA player's lifestyle and what they're used to and all of that. I think it's still, it might not be what they're used to, but it's still pretty good. So I think in that sense, most people sort of roll their eyes when they see that kind of stuff. But speaking specifically from the Raptors, in my experience over the last few days talking to Toronto players about what the bubble has been like, I haven't sensed too much in the way of complaints there. I know for the Raptors, like they're a pretty experienced team in the sense that they're not really used to, even at the best times, pre-COVID, and they're at home. They're not going out on the town. They're not going to bars and clubs and expensive restaurants very often. I think most of these guys are sort of more in the way of homebodies anyway. So I think a lot of them have just been in their room and playing video games or on Zoom, FaceTime with their young families back home. And I imagine that's going to be the case for most of these guys outside of the few that want to get out there and take part in the NBA entertainment or the fishing or whatever else that the league is offering in the bubble.
See, and thanks for coming on, by the way. It's Leroy Butler. Thank you for coming on because we got a bone to pick with you. So we can't actually talk to the Raptors. We got to blame this four straight on you, okay? So if you don't mind taking this smoke, it'll make me feel better. But how were they able to do that? I mean, because you would think that Nick Nurse, I didn't know who he was. I'll be very honest with you. I'm just saying Lou, because I don't want to mess up your last name. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know a lot about him, but he seemed to have the game plan to cut off Giannis to the basket. I haven't seen any team do a lot of that. But how were they able to do that, in your opinion?
Well, the great irony in Nick Nurse's NBA career as a head coach so far is I think coming in when he was promoted from being an assistant on Dwayne Casey's staff a couple years ago, I mean, you're right. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't know a whole lot about him. Certainly people outside of Toronto, where he had been an assistant coach for a few years. He had bounced around. He was coaching in the D League at the time and had been coaching in Great Britain and all around the world. But one of the things that he was known for, that his reputation was for, being an offensive-minded guy. He was the assistant coach at the time who was credited for remaking the Raptors' offense under Dwayne Casey the year that they went to the conference finals. And he had spent time working in the Houston Rockets system for their D-League team, so had that experience working for their sort of progressive, new-age, pace and space offense. And the defensive expertise, I think, that he's brought over the last couple of years, which is reflected in the Raptors being second in the NBA in defense this season behind Milwaukee, I think that came as a surprise to a lot of people. But I think what we've learned about Coach Nurse over the last couple of years is not specifically that he's an offensive coach or even specifically that he's a defensive coach. I think now what his reputation has become as an NBA head coach is for his kind of flexible, creative, outside-of-the-box thinking. He's an innovator. Here in Toronto, we joke that he's like the basketball mad scientist. It doesn't seem like there's anything that he's not willing to try or a stage that's too big for him to try it on. We saw in the NBA Finals last year when he broke out the rarely seen box and one against Steph Curry and the Warriors. That has sort of become an identity for this Raptors team, is that they're innovative and that they're creative and they're flexible. And that's something that they're leaning on now probably more than ever before, off the court as well as on the court, just because of how uncertain the situation is in the bubble in Florida. I think the teams that are going to be successful in this situation are the ones that are going to be flexible and be able to roll with the punches, and Nick Nurse's team prides themselves on that.
Yeah, Josh, the one thing that I thought he did well, I didn't know, we'll be honest now, we're in Milwaukee, I didn't know Van Vliet, Norman Powell, of course we knew Kyle Lowry, but a lot of these guys were getting the kind of looks that you want, but it just seemed like to me, Leonard is gone, okay, they celebrated great, but they're still good. Is it because he has them, Nick Nurse has them playing, like you said, in a nice system, everybody can get their shot. Now their top guy, Siakam, he's the guy. He's more of he can do pretty much everything, and now you can see how this team is trying to win in the future by doing it as a team role instead of going through Leonard.
Yeah, those are great points. I think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for having these guys ready to go and keeping them motivated and focused and confident even after losing the player that was most responsible for winning them a championship last year. But then I think you mentioned a lot of these other guys in Siakam, Van Vliet, Powell, obviously Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry, the veterans. You've got all these guys that, I mean, they are prideful NBA players, professional athletes, that look at that criticism and say, well, wait a minute, what about us? We were here last year, too. A lot of the people, myself included, that sort of counted the Raptors out a little bit after Leonard left and said, okay, well, they're still a playoff team. They're still a good team in the Eastern Conference, but they're not a championship contender. Those guys looked at that. I mean, they read those comments, and they said, well, what about us? So I think in the way that I mentioned their identity as a flexible and creative team, I think that's also a calling card of this Raptors team, is that they have done a great job over the years of scouting and finding and then developing these like-minded players, these guys that have been counted out at various points in their career, that feel slighted, that feel like they have a chip on their shoulder and have something to prove. They found them, and they've really done a good job of helping them blossom into stars. I mean, Van Vliet went undrafted, which is still unfathomable to me, the fact that 30 teams decided, you know what, we don't want this guy, we don't need this guy. Most of those teams decided that multiple times on draft night in 2016, and he has become a really good player for the Raptors. Pascal Siakam, wasn't even playing basketball a decade ago, pretty much. I mean, this is a late bloomer, a guy that started picking up the game pretty late in life, and he went 27th overall. Norman Powell was a second-round pick. So Terrence Davis, the rookie for the Raptors, who's had a really good year, he went undrafted this year. So they've done a good job with that, but I also think that there's a common denominator in the type of players that they look for, and I think that common denominator is that chip on their shoulder, something to prove. And let's face it, a lot of these guys have proved an awful lot to a lot of people this year.
Talking with Josh Lewenberg, talking about the Toronto Raptors from the Sports Network here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and AM 1250. What about going into this neutral court situation without any fans? Eric Name wrote a piece on the Bucks, talking about three-point shooting for the Bucks, home versus away this year, as far as shooting it and defending it and the whole deal, and how that may play a factor here once they get down to Orlando, not being on their home court, shooting into their own rims that they're used to shooting into, where their numbers are, I'd say, pretty significantly higher, shooting the basketball from long range than on the road. How does it look for Toronto when you look at splits and how this may play out in a neutral court for them?
Well, the Raptors feel very confident that they're one of those teams that can have success regardless of where they're playing, whether it's at home, on the road, or in this case, in a neutral environment. In fact, the Raptors had the exact same record on the road as they did at home this year, 23-9. I think going back to one of the things that I mentioned earlier, they're an experienced team. They've got some young players, but for the most part, I mean, they're led by a guy in Kyle Lowry who's been around for 14 seasons and is pretty even-keeled, and I think has gotten even more even-keeled in terms of his approach after spending a year playing alongside Kawhi Leonard. And that's another thing. I think all of these guys have sort of taken something away from Kawhi, where they're just really, really well-balanced, really even-keeled in terms of their approach. And I think that sort of approach lends itself to being able to be successful in adverse situations or being able to win on the road. You've got a guy like Marc Gasol, of course, who has been around. So I think they feel pretty good about this scenario and feel pretty good that they can maybe have an advantageous or being in an advantageous position because of their success on the road. I also think they feel like they might be at an advantage because they're the only team that has sort of been in this bubble-like environment for an additional 2 weeks. Remember, they're the only team in the NBA that got permission from the league to hold their pre-training camp workouts outside of their home city because of potential complications in crossing the border and not wanting to quarantine. So they held their individual workouts in Fort Myers in Florida for a couple weeks. And it was obviously different than what this bubble, NBA bubble situation is. Instead of dealing with managing the safety of 350 players and 850 team staff in three different hotels, which is obviously a massive undertaking for the league and what they're contending with right now. It was a little bit smaller than that, a lot smaller than that, dealing with 17 players and 45 team members in one hotel. But I think they did get a chance to get that taste of what life was going to be like, where you're away from your family and you're wearing the masks and you're keeping your distance from everybody. And I think they believe that maybe they're a little bit more prepared for what might end up being a very difficult situation for some younger and less experienced teams.
Okay, Josh, we got to get to the my pressing question I wanted to ask, but I thought I'd be more professional. Is Drake at the bubble? I need to know this kind of thing, Josh. Can you find out, is Drake at the bubble? Because I'm telling you, every time we saw this guy, I'm like, uh-oh. He just seemed like, oh, there he is again. They won 2 games, 3 games, 4 games. Nate, you know, because he's obviously my favorite rapper. So I just want to know, were there any Drake sightings down there? Do I need to just follow Instagram or something? I mean, what's going on down there?
It's funny you
ask
that.
I know you can find out.
I know there's been so much talk, not just on the Raptors side of things, but I'm sure in Milwaukee and from all the teams in the league that had earned home court advantage. And, of course, the Bucks.
Exactly.
If they would have remained at the top of the NBA in terms of the standings, they would have gotten home court advantage all the way through the playoffs. So we posed that question, what's going to be done, what's the home court advantage to Bobby Webster, the Raptors general manager, a few weeks ago, and he said, okay, well, if they're not going to give us like a five-point head start, maybe allow Drake into the bubble. Maybe that'll be the Raptors' home court advantage. They'll have Drake sitting in the front row and yelling at people and heckling the opposition.
That's fine, because Giannis would like a seventh foul if we're picking what we want. Giannis would like an extra foul. So
no, he can get a celebrity.
Y'all can have Drake.
Yeah, celebrity or celebrity.
I'll take the extra foul.
Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers.
No, yeah, he's not going to sing.
Now's the time to be innovative. Now's the time to be creative.
There you go.
All of these ideas. Bring it on.
Hey, chatting with Josh Lewinberg here. Just one more. As far as that eight-game schedule that came out, and obviously – everybody's got a different one. I'm not sure how fair one is to the other. How did the Raptors like the eight-game schedule they were given?
Well, they don't. I mean, they say they're okay with it because, of course, I mean, that's what teams say is, we welcome the challenge and it'll be good preparation going into the playoffs, but it is a hard schedule. It is tough. And, of course, all these schedules are going to be tough because you're eliminating the eight worst teams in the NBA. So nobody's playing Detroit or Charlotte or New York, etc. But the Raptors schedule is particularly tough. I believe only two of the eight games that they have are against teams under 500, and those teams are Orlando and Memphis, who are fighting for playoff positioning. So there's no Washington in there for the Raptors. There's no Brooklyn in there for the Raptors. But I mean, They're in a situation here where there's not a ton at stake in terms of seeding. I mean, barring an epic collapse from the Bucks, the Raptors are not going to catch Milwaukee for first place. Second place is interesting because the Celtics are three games behind the Raptors, which is very doable, especially considering there is a game between the two teams remaining that could end up determining the tiebreaker. And a few months ago, even a few weeks ago, before Oladipo pulled out, I would have said there is a massive advantage in getting second place over third place, even without home court advantage being a factor, just because there was a big drop-off in the Eastern Conference after those top six teams. You'd much rather play Orlando or Brooklyn in the first round than Philadelphia or Indiana. But now with Oladipo out for the Pacers, I mean, the Pacers were having a really good season even before Oladipo came back. But when home court is no longer a factor, and if it's Indiana or Orlando, I'm not sure that's a huge difference there. So whether they come in second or third, I think the priority here for the Raptors for these eight games, more than anything else, is going to be to ease their way in, use these eight games to get everybody back into game shape, and then also to stay healthy, because the Raptors for the duration of this season have been banged up. They haven't been healthy or anywhere close to fully healthy since the start of the season. Now, I mean, theoretically, they've had all this time to rest and presumably come back fresh. So they want to make sure that they remain that way going into the playoffs. I would imagine that that's more important to them than whether they come in second or third.
There he is, Josh Lewinberg from the Sports Network in Toronto. Josh, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure throughout the NBA season.
Always a blast, guys. Take care.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Josh Lewinberg on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion outgrown your home, Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
They may be able to benefit one of those teams, too, because they had a lot of their guys banged up. So it's about maybe four or five teams going into when they had to stop. They were missing a lot of players,
yep,
and guys were hurt. So I'm sure they're well-rested.
Right now, you can get a small Wendy's Frosty Chino for just $1 with any purchase. That's all day, any item. Just add $1, and a small Frosty Chino is
full
yours.
Quarters.
Vanilla or chocolate, totally up to you. Tomorrow's looking good at Wendy's. Offers available right now at participating U.S. Wendy's for a limited time. But again, $1 small Frosty Chinos. with any purchase right now at Wendy's. So make sure to take advantage of that. All right, coming up next, take a quick timeout, 60 seconds, and then we will come back and talk about Aaron Rodgers' comments over the weekend and the NFL adding equipment to all the equipment they already have, adding something else to the helmet. We'll discuss that straight ahead here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.